It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. You're listening to Comics with Kenobi.
It is episode number 147, and we draw ever nearer to the end of Star Wars. At least the Star Wars comic, not Star Wars itself. Geek me all knowing box set, stay open, May 4th, I'm hoping Luke gonna be hot as before, cause Ren looks hardcore, and I don't want Sith running the galaxy. Jeff.
Hi, Matt.
Hi.
Yes, the end is nigh. At least, the end is nigh for about a month and a half. Nobody really dies in comics except for Aunt, Uncle Ben and Batman's parents, and not even comic books ever really die.
Martha! Martha!
Why did you say that name?
Used to be you could say Gwen Stacy, too, but, you know, she has returned to life as Spider-Gwen.
Right.
But, you know, granted, it's an alternate universe, Gwen Stacy, but still, you never know.
I had to explain to someone a while back why Uncle Ben was the only Marvel character who can never come back, and same with Batman's parents. And when I explained it, they said, oh, that makes sense. I never thought about it. I was like, well, now you have. So, yeah.
Ooh, Nelly, Nelly, Nell. No. Oh, my.
So, hi, Matt. How you doing? We got three books to talk about. Zuki, you like how I didn't even give you a chance to answer when I asked how you were doing, because I know how you're doing? Apparently, the dogs insist that you tell us how you're doing, though.
I'm doing okay for an old guy. I appreciate you asking.
All right. So we do have three books to discuss this week. We have... really, guys? You done?
I don't think they are.
They've been quiet all afternoon. We have three books to discuss this week. We have Star Wars number 74, we have Jedi Fallen Order number 4, and we have Target Vader number 5.
Yes, we do.
So, but before we dive into all that, I'm sure we probably have a little bit of news to discuss, don't we?
We got just a smidge of news. You know, as we roll into December, we are looking toward a couple of books. Actually, more than a couple. Pretty much a couple. We are looking toward Star Wars Empire Ascendant number 1, which is a big one-shot that's essentially going to tie up what we like to call the first phase of Marvel Star Wars comics. And we're going to see a nice little... you know, tie-ins and in games, if you will, for Star Wars and Dr. Aphra, you know, and so that's going to be kind of cool, I think. And then, of course, we've got one new miniseries starting, and that's going to be The Rise of Kylo Ren, and they have released some of the variant covers for the first issue of Kylo Ren. And people are rightfully so going a little bananas over it.
Yeah, I saw those on our Twitter feed that you had posted. Those are some really nice stuff.
Oh my gosh, yeah. I mean, we got John Tyler Christopher, who is doing an action figure variant of Ben Solo. And it's a pretty awesome looking cover. And then you know, then there's Carmen Nunez Carnero, who's got one of Kylo, or well, of Ben. This is Ben Solo. It's not yet Kylo Ren, but it's Ben holding the Kylo Ren mask, much the way Kylo Ren was holding the remnants of the Darth Vader mask, you know, in the new sequel trilogy. It also kind of reminded me of Darth Vader Volume 2, number 22, where Vader was holding the mask of Lord Momon. I mean, it's been flipped around and everything, but still looked really good. Empire Ascendant, though, wins our award for the best variant cover, because Patrick Zercher has a cover of Aphra on a Tauntaun.
I love it.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. And that will be a cover that I will actively seek out. And then, of course, Marvel published, more than a month out, a quick 4-page preview of Empire Ascendant. And we have a link there on the Facebook page and on the Twitter feed. But there's one page. They're on Hoth, and they're rebels. And I'm telling you, bud, I'm looking at these two rebels. They look very similar to Shara Bay and Kes Dameron, a.k.a. Poe Dameron's parents. No dialogue on these four pages, but still, very intriguing. And another thing that I really loved about the preview was we saw Velada, Magna Tolvan, and Papa Aphra on Hoth.
So we at least know they survive.
Yeah, and it's funny because, you know, it's and then Luke is coming up to talk to them, and in the background of Luke is that big ion cannon. So it's gonna be pretty interesting, I think. So at the same time, you know, we have Volume 3 of Star Wars is starting on New Year's Day, and as a result, you know, Marvel's got a bunch of number ones starting in January. You know, Guardians of the Galaxy, Thor, Marvel's X. But so they're going to be holding some launch parties, and Star Wars Volume 3 is going to get a launch party. And depending if your comic book shop participates, if you go, you can get a really cool lithograph by Adi Granov that shows The Empire Strikes Back. And again, that's on our Facebook and our Twitter feed, and it's pretty sharp looking. So very cool. There you go. Yeah, it's getting somewhat exciting. And of course, you know, last but not least, you know, we do have a. If you look on Comixology, you can see the wraparound cover for Star Wars Saga, which is also coming out in December. And it essentially is a primer, if you will, you know, of the first 4 years of Marvel Star Wars comics. So, you know, it's a nice way to sort of bring everybody up to date fairly quickly.
And that's a good thing to do, especially if you're rebooting with the number one. It's an easy way to bring people on board without feeling like they have to read, you know, 75 issues worth of comics, or in the case of Dr. Aphra, what is it, 30, almost 40 books worth?
Exactly. Well, yeah, because, you know, by the time Aphra concludes, she will have had a 40-issue miniseries as well as the three annuals.
Right.
Oh, and last but not least, speaking of Dr. Aphra, Elsa Charretier, the artist who drew the Dr. Aphra annual number 3, her Kickstarter has been wildly successful. It's 500% overfunded. Which means she's adding a couple of stretch goals. So if you support strong artists who do great Star Wars comics work, as well as their own independent work, do check it out. It's in waning days, but it's definitely worth your time and your monies.
Excellent. And I assume that we're to thank for it you know, being blowing it out of the water, since we mentioned it on the show recently.
Exactly. That or the fact that she's just a top flight quality artist who is adored within and without of the industry. So
I suppose that probably had a little bit to do with it as well.
Maybe just a smidge.
All right. Well, we do have three books to discuss, so why don't we dive in, starting with Star Wars number 74. I'm still not sure how I feel about these banners they're putting across the top of these. I like that they're sort of grouping them together, so you know they're all, you know, kind of like they did with Bruce Wayne Murderer and Bruce Wayne Fugitive 20 years ago, or however long ago it was. I guess it's been about 15, 16 years ago. But I mostly just don't know that I like the way this looks. The Destination Hoth at the top is just a little distracting. To me, it kind of takes away from this epic cover that we've got of Chewbacca and Darth Vader in pitched battle with one another.
Jeff, you ignorant dork.
Well, I never claimed to be not that. I'm just saying.
I disagree. I like having these things atop of the book. A, it makes it stand out on the stands. B, it's signaling very clearly for readers, new and old, hey, we are approaching the Empire Strikes Back era of Star Wars comics. You know, they're tying into, you know, what they know from the film, which I like that. And it's a good idea because, you know, they're going to be doing that with Dr. Aphra number 39 as well, which makes perfect sense. And to me, it doesn't take away from the cover. As a matter of fact, I like the way it offsets this Phil Noto cover, because we have Destination Hoth, very cinematic, as if it were almost like a lobby card. And we see Chewbacca and Darth Vader tussling, and we see Vader's saber going up and, you know, off the page through the title card above it. So I disagree with you on this. I like it. You know, from a design standpoint, it appeals to me.
Well, and that's your right as an American to be wrong.
Jeff, why do you hate comics?
Because comics hate me, apparently. No. But again, one thing we do agree on, though, is this cover is amazing. Like I said,
well,
very intense colors.
It's Phil Noto.
Yeah.
I've never not known Phil Noto to draw, you know, and not, you know, to not draw an amazing cover. So
yeah,
it's like a triple negative. It's supposed to be a positive, but yeah. So yeah, it's a great cover, and of course, there was the John Tyler Christopher action figure variant was out as well. I actually picked up the Pauline Voss Greatest Moments variant cover because it featured the duel between Kylo Ren and Rey on the Starkiller base planet. So enjoyed it very much and was pleased to see that my local shop had a copy because I didn't request it. I just, you know, when they showed that cover initially, I was like, oh, that's a really pretty cover. And lo and behold, there was one copy left. I said, oh, that's mine. Thank you very much.
Now, so, does your shop charge more for the variant covers?
No, it depends because I have two shops that I go to. One of them will actually charge a little more for some variants, but my other shop does not charge for the variants unless they are specifically tied to like 1 in 10 or
right.
Know,
if it costs them more to get it, that makes perfect sense. Yeah, makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
So, and but, I know a lot do and a lot don't, but yeah, that's kind of what I assume because that's how they are around here as well.
Yeah, and it varies from shop to shop. Some shops won't. Some shops will overcharge for variants. You know, a lot of shops will just look what they're going for on eBay and immediately price them, you know, a buck above or a buck below, and then, you know, then alter them as, you know, depending on how they fluctuate on eBay. So
that's business for you.
It is, and you can't fault them because they can make money off of it.
Absolutely, keeps them in business. So
exactly.
All right. Well, getting into the crux, the brunt of the story, we open up on Sergia right where we left off.
Well, let's hold off though, because we're forgetting credits where credits are due. Rebels and Rogues, Part 7.
I was just doing that so you'd remember and come around.
I appreciate that very much. It's hard to believe we have an 8-part arc here. Greg Pak, the writer. Phil Noto, as we discussed on the cover, is also the artist. Virtual Calligraphy's Clayton Coles is the letterer. And then, of course, assistant editor is Tom Groneman. Editor is Mark Panizia. And then we are jumping back in. Jeff, take it away.
We open right back up on Sergia, where we left off last time. Warba has come back for Luke. And, of course, he says, I knew you'd come back for me. She goes, I sure didn't. What'd you do, use a Jedi mind trick on me? And he says, yep, what? Kidding. I just have a feeling about you. You couldn't let all those rebels get murdered. And she reminds him, you know, you're pretty dim kid, but I'm just in this for the money. And I like it because he says, I've got another friend that talks like that, but he always seems to come through in the end. And we know exactly who he's talking about because from there we cut to the core.
This is a great segue, too.
I know, I love it. It's so much fun. We're in the middle of Han, Leia, and Dar Champion's mission. As you recall, they were sent by Boss Carpo to take out a Star Destroyer and nothing but a shuttle. And I like, because Han says, you know, Han's basically saying we could just cut and run. And Leia reminds him, if we do that, Boss Carper will just take it out on Dar's people. And Han says, you know, this might just be the stupidest thing I've ever done. And I love that Dar says, I doubt that. He says, sorry, Captain Solo, it wasn't meant as an insult. I'm like, I don't know how else you could take that, though. But he says, we are probably going to die, but if this works, we'll save a lot of lives. So I'm honored to be here with both you and Leia, because in my long experience with foolish endeavors, sometimes the stupid thing is the right thing. And from there, that transitions us to K-43 with the Rock Lords and Chewie and C-3PO. And I love this. It's all blurry, and you see a rumble at the bottom. For a second, I thought that my copy was misprinted, but I'm seeing that that's exactly what it's supposed to look like. Really, really cool effect there.
It is. It's a great effect here.
And this is
where the threads are starting to all tie in together.
Right, everything's coming together. Han has called C-3PO, and of course, 3PO is saying, you know, saying he should I call you back in just a minute. You shut up and listen. I got a crazy plan, but I'm going to need some help. And then Luke, we find out they're on a three-way call. Luke says, sounds like all of us, doesn't it? I was just talking about you. And Han says, only nice things, I hope. How's it going over there? Oh, fine.
Before we jump, this panel, a great panel here. You know, Luke's hair is blowing in the wind.
Yes.
And it evokes, you know, Luke from A New Hope.
Absolutely. And especially with, you know, being in a land speeder like that, with that half dome coming up, and he's looking out.
Yep.
Looks just like Mark Hamill. But the next panel was the one that I liked. He says, if you like getting chased by Desert Mangler Mounted Patrol, and I love the way these things look. They look like a cross between Dubaks and, like, Velociraptors.
They do, don't they? They're fairly frightening looking.
And
so,
the Jesus lizards with the things at the side of their head. And Han says, yeah, I get that beat. Ever tried attacking an Imperial class Star Destroyer with a transport shuttle? Long story, pal. And I love that 3PO cuts in and goes, I'm sorry, we don't have time for any of this now. He's asserting himself, and Han says, you know what I say about shutting up, Professor? I'm getting to you. She goes, you don't understand, Captain Solo. Darth Vader is here on K-43. And we were reminded that Vader is being attacked by the Rock Lords, the Rock people of K-43. And he's having a little bit of trouble.
That's Midge.
He's erected like a force bubble around himself that they're about to break through. And Admiral Azzel is offering his help. And I love that Vader says, when I require your services, I will command them, Admiral. Do not disturb me again. And, you know, and you were talking about that panel of Luke. The next page, to me, this panel of Han and Leia is just wonderful.
Oh, my gosh. Isn't it, though? Look at that.
The way, though, and I love the way that they've done the light coming up off of the readouts around their eyes.
It's great. It's perfect shading here. And again, you know, Phil Noto is doing everything in this book. You know, he's not doing just the pencils, but he's done the pencils, the inks, and the colors.
Wow.
And it shows, you know, it's when you get the artist doing everything, they really, you know, they don't have to rely on somebody else to sort of kind of get the effect that they were going for. And Phil Noto is just crushing it, literally.
Well, I even love, even in the background, this ship, you can see it's kind of used and lived in. You can see he's drawn in some, like, you know, some imperfections to the ship there.
Yeah, and that is a very good detail, because that's always been one of Star Wars calling cards.
Used future, yeah.
Yeah, you know, a gritty lived-in look. And Phil has not forgotten that, so...
And so Han, of course, says, we'll take him out when we blow up the planet. And this one, 3PO tells him, we can't blow up the planet. We'll kill the Kakrons. And Han says, I don't know who the Kakrons are, but that doesn't sound good, Captain. I think that's Dar saying that.
Yeah.
Relax, we'll figure it out when we get there. And he says, 3PO, put us on a clear channel. And 3PO says, but then the Imperials can intercept the conversation. And he says, exactly. And I love Leia says, stupid enough for you, Dar? And I love that inside the Star Destroyer, they're figuring out that the TIE Fighters are actually doing more damage to the ship than the shuttle did. And so the Imperials pick up the conversation.
Yes, it's a nice little use of subterfuge here, because you know they're going to lay a trap, or if you will, very much at least an escape path. You know, Blue Command, I don't know what's going on. The rest of the ships never came out of light speed. We're all alone out here. This is Blue Command. Yes, mission aborted, Captain. And come back to the base at K-43 now, says 3PO.
C-3PO improvising.
Yeah, and then, of course, the officer's like, K-43, at the edge of wild space, sir, it's out of our sector. Should I contact Admiral Azzel and give him the glory of relocating the rebel base? I think not.
You can always count on the Imperials to shoot themselves in the foot, choking on their aspirations.
They are arrogant asses. To the last person. So, oof. And then that's where we cut back. And the pacing of this book is quite frenetic. Possibly
and kinetic.
Even, and, yeah, I was going to say possibly even kinetic. But at no point so far have I been shaken off at all. It's got a really good flow to it. It's like gliding down a hill. You know, with no chance of falling off the bike or off your skateboard.
Right.
So yeah, then we cut back, to Sergio, grrr, you know, and Luke and Warba are, you know, I'm amazed that these creatures can go so fast. You know, and she's telling him, you know, he said, look, keep heading for those rocks. And she's like, well, we can't outrun them. They're too fast. Come on, Warba, have a little faith. And he throws out a grappling hook and this look, you know, from the stormtroopers, the shadow of the rock is coming down on him and his mouth.
Yeah, I swear you can see an expression, the expression behind his helmet. Yeah, it just lands on top of him, and yeah, Luke makes it back to his X-wing, and
to the other rebels. So,
and I love this. He says, and he asks Archie, he says, "How are you doing?" And he gets this bleep. He goes, "Hi, don't hold back now." And he finds out that there's no sign of that Superstar Destroyer. And so he says, it's time for you guys to evacuate. And he says, this is Warba. She'll steal anything that's not bolted down, but she helped me out. Can you go to the next safe planet? and she asks Luke, where are you going? He says, I got to help get to K-43 to help my friends. But your friend just said Vader's there. He says, kid. And he says, relax, Warba. You said it yourself. I'm one with the Force and the Force is with me. And this is when she has to admit to him that that was all a ruse. She says, I don't know anything about the Force. I just told you what I remember the weirdos chanting on the streets of Jedha. And Luke's face.
Yeah, as she says,
the work here is some of the best. I call this ink acting.
I like that term. That's a good term.
Ink acting that Phil Noto is doing here, because you see everything going on Luke's face here. And she says, you haven't learned anything from me. If you try to take on Lord Vader, you're dead. And that in that close up on his eyes. And I love that his eyes are even uneven. His eyes are uneven, just like a human, just like Mark Hamill's probably are. And he just turns his back on her. And he turns back around and he says, I still got to go, Warba. But I don't care what you say. You're more than you seem. Let's hope we all are. And I love that image of all the ships taking off at the same time. And is Warba still just standing there? Is that what it looks like to you?
It kind of looks that way.
So I guess she didn't leave with him after all. I didn't notice that the first time I was reading through this. And I'll apologize if everybody can hear the traffic outside. We're recording this right as everybody's getting home from work, and apparently I live in the land of loud pickups. From there we go.
Dude, you're in Texas. Come on.
It's true.
Man.
This is true. But yeah, just some stunning work here. And back to K-43. C-3PO is trying to hurry Chewbacca up. He says, I'd love to wait for Luke, Master Luke, and the others, but they're too late. We only have a few minutes left. And the decision's up to us, and there's a cave-in. The rumble is caused a cave-in. And I love this. The Rock Lord says, do not worry, Brother Orr. Soon we will bury the intruder, and you will have no need to hide. The Cochran. Sorry, I'll stop calling the Rock Lords the Cochran. And they tell C-3PO, you've been a good friend, or Brother Orr, please don't worry. And he explains to them what happens. We've set bombs below, but we can't reach them. And he says, before we knew about you, they're going to explode in 73 seconds, and if we did our jobs right, they'll destroy the planet. And I love it because this guy says these bombs were built by the flesh. Yes. Using their cells and circuits. Yes. Do not worry. When we first fought the flesh people long ago, we learned how to stop their machines. Why didn't you tell me that in the first place? And I love this where they're touching something and this you can hear the electricity. And it's, yeah, the way that's written, it's just great. And they figure out they can generate electricity, and C-3PO realizes they're going to create a pulse to stop the detonators.
Basically an EMP.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And they hesitate because they say it would also stop C-3PO.
And this dialogue here, I want to single out this dialogue, and I want to single out the work that Greg Pak has done here, because you know this was something that was mentioned on our Twitter feed, when I was talking about, hey, we're going to be looking at Star Wars 74 on this, and it's just amazing the way Greg Pak can write C-3PO. C-3PO has always, has always had this image. I've always felt, it's sort of like the jester, if you will, of the core Star Wars group. And what the comics have really showed us is that he is way much more than that. Twitter user, The Real Deal, aka Brian, son of Bob, and his exact words to us were, Greg Pak really giving us all the great C-3PO content and making me tear up while reading Star Wars 74. And he goes, and I know Star Wars Explain and Star Wars comic probably feel the same. And you know what, Brian, son of Bob, you are right. And, here's the deal. Like I've said, Greg knows droids better than anyone. And this is a splendid example of how the professor plays such a vital role but has such heart.
Yes, he thinks he's sacrificing himself. He says, but Brother Orr would also stop you. And he just says, oh. And I love this. He's touching his head. He says, Brother Orr. And C-3PO says, Brother Stone, please do it.
That's hero definition right there. Yes. That's a true blue hero.
And Chewbacca asks him
to sacrifice himself.
Chewbacca asks him a question. He says, all right, Chewbacca, stone, ore, or flesh, I don't care. I'm just happy to have been of service.
Now, you tie that in with what we saw in the preview for The Rise of Skywalker. I'm just taking one last look at my friends. And it just, oh my God. Just, come on, Greg Pak. Just, come on in. Rip the heart out of
me. Rip out
my
heart. I teared up reading it then, and I'm tearing up reading it now, because that's, at the end of the day, that's all any of us can ask.
Yeah.
Is to just have been of service to those around us. And I love this image. This next page is huge. This is Skrakoom.
Great lettering. Love the lettering.
And we're seeing all of the bombs just literally whoosh and fizzle. And I'm assuming this is going to do the same thing to Vader, wouldn't you?
You would think, but you know, Vader's got such control and command of the Force that he could probably find a way to override it.
Well,
and
it's also inside that Force bubble, it didn't interact.
My next intonation was he's protected from it by the Force using that bubble of his.
And then and so Chewie picks up C-3PO. Just again, you know, echoes of what we saw at Cloud City. And this, like you said, this could explain why he was so eager to save C-3PO and rebuild him, get him rebuilt, because he knows something that nobody else does. And then we see Luke crashing, skidding out of the sky because he was just in the wrong place at the wrong time.
And props to him for bringing his X-Wing down without destroying it, especially without any power.
Falling with style is what he does.
And R2's out.
R2's out. We lost power. And there's Vader. Click, click. And his saber won't even work. And then Vader.
The lettering here. Click, click. Oh, no.
And then the vroom on Vader's is just, ah. And I love
panel.
That panel is great because you just see his silhouette, just see the black, and then you see the blade coming out. You don't see the hilt or anything. Very, I don't know if you would call that expressionistic or not, but it's pretty striking. But then I love the next page, Chewie just bringing a rock down on his head.
One of the very few times that the Force has failed Darth Vader, because I think he was so precision laser focused on Luke.
On Luke, absolutely.
Because he knows Luke is his son now. You know, he's put two and two together, thanks to Boba Fett way back earlier. But you know, still, he was unfocused, and as a result, Chewie gets the drop on him, and they go mano a mano here, and it's pretty, you know, Chewie goes straight for the ripping the arms out of the sockets mode.
Almost does it, but yeah.
Comes close, you know, and then just, you know, and of course, Vader, ever cocksure, enjoy this battle, Wookiee, for it will be your last. And then he gets the choke on him. You know, with one hand, it looks like, and oh my, and just the look on Chewie's face here, you know,
he's worried. Yeah,
he's real worried. And I tell you, you know, Star Wars, you know, this flagship series over the last 74 issues had its ups and its downs, but you know, Greg Pak is just he is careening us toward the end here. You know, rolling everything out and making everything happen. You know, we're gonna hit the wall here, just covered in filth, grime, with you know our martini spilled all over the floor. Going, whoa, what a rush!
Yeah, I love it. He's definitely bringing this one in for a very smooth landing, but it's gonna be exciting.
Oh, very much so.
And thankfully, we only have to wait a week to find out what happens, because that is the single book we have to discuss next week. Spoilers. We'll talk about it again at the end of the show, but. We only have to wait a week to find out what happens.
Yeah, because it'll be our only book. And, of course, like you said, we'll talk about it at the end of the show. But, you know, hey, while we've got you here, since it's going to be the final issue of Star Wars, you know, Empire Ascendant, obviously, being the bookend, you know, feel free to send us an email at comicswithkenobi@gmail.com and let us know what was your favorite part of Star Wars Volume 2.
Absolutely.
Or what was your least favorite part, you know, or, you know, just... You know, if you've been sticking with it since January of 2015, you know it's a long time. So a lot of stories there, a lot of stories. Curious to find out what y'all think, and you know we'll share it on the next episode of the podcast for sure.
Absolutely, there or hit us up on Twitter or Facebook. Either way, yeah, we however you prefer to contact us, we'd love to hear your thoughts on it because we obviously have some opinions of our own, but all of those.
And don't forget, our DMs are open on Twitter, and you can always message us on Facebook at facebook.com/comicswithkenobi.
Absolutely. So that's going to do it for that book. Next, we have the penultimate, I believe, issue 4 of 5.
Yep.
Of Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order Dark Temple.
Are you loving it yet?
No.
Why do you hate Star Wars, Jeff?
I don't hate Star Wars. I'm just not a big fan of this series. The game came out this week, and everybody I know who's a gamer has been playing it and is really, really enjoying it. So I'm glad everybody is enjoying the game. And
I told all of them,
I just hope the game is better than the tie-in comic.
Well, I saw Jedi Geek Girl stayed up all night to finish the game.
Wow.
So that was a pretty impressive move. So unfortunately, it's not been ported to ColecoVision or Atari 2600. So I haven't had a chance to play it yet. So I got my fingers crossed for that Intellivision port, though. I'm really looking forward to that one.
I think that's probably next on their list. I do like the cover here, though. I like this droid that is just over our heroine. I really do like that cover, and that cover is by
Will Sliney
and Dono Sanchez Almada.
Uh-huh. You know him and you love him.
And like you said, this is issue number 4 of 5. And what is our creator team on this one? I don't want to skip over them again this time.
Well, chapter 4 of 5, A Truce, A Trap, and A Traitor, written by Matthew Rosenberg. Main art is by Paolo Villanelli. Arif Prianto handles the colors here. Virtual Calligraphy's Joe Sabino is handling the letters. And, of course, there was a variant cover, which I also picked up, by Paolo Villanelli and Arif Prianto as well. Again, as always, with all the Star Wars comic books, Tom Groneman is the assistant editor. Mark Panizia is the editor. And Anthony Gambino was the designer coming in here, as is evidenced by this title page. So, you and I must be reading a different book because, I'm still really digging this one a lot.
And that's fine. I get it. It's just not landing for me.
Okay, that's fine. Not every book is going to land for you or for me.
Right. I'm enjoying the stuff that we're seeing with the Inquisitors, but the flashback stuff, I think it's just that I don't like either one of our main Jedi characters.
Okay.
I just don't really care for either one of them, and I still just think it's overwritten.
Okay, that seems fair.
I really do. But as we open up on Antotho, in the, I guess, quote-unquote present day, you could say, the Inquisitor is taking some of her troops down into the ruins, because this is what the locals were trying to keep from us. And they find out there's writing on the wall up ahead. They're seeing some dead bodies.
Yeah, like she's saying, so what is it? Well, my first intonation, it's a mess.
Right. Clearly something has happened here. And there's writing on the wall, and the Inquisitor is nothing they've never seen before. And then we see the three LO, right, is who that is?
Yep.
The droid
yep.
that she finds?
Mm-hmm.
But it's not a standard model. It's just built from salvage, maybe. They turn it on. And, of course, he comes right back on. This structure is highly unstable. You've gotten us all killed. Who has? Oh, I'm sorry. I seem to be experiencing some sort of malfunction. Who has gotten you all killed? Who do you think? The ones who caused all this. The Jedi. And that's where we cut back to Antotho years earlier with Cordova and Sayre. And he's doing the same thing. He's venturing into the ruins. And if you recall from the last issue, he's brokered a deal with both sides, with both the Falari and the Da Corporation, to be able to go in and take a look around on his own without any of them interfering.
Yep. And I like Sayre here because, she is not entirely sold on the Master's plan here. The truce we brokered between the Felari and the Antothans was clear. Nobody was to go inside. Well, none of Da's people, yes. Then is it a good idea for you to? Do you mean is it a good idea for me to go in without you, Sayre? I just want to make sure we aren't going to make things worse simply because of your curiosity. And it's funny because he's got his finger. He's not wagging it. But he's not looking at her either. A very good question to ask, Sayre. Don't say it. Thinking like that shows me I am right to trust you to wait out here and make sure nothing goes wrong. And the look on her face, I knew you were going to say that. And I want to pause here. The colors on this page. Indeed, the colors throughout the book here. Arif has done a superb job, showing the little sort of, the equivalent of the snowfall there, if you will. It's not overpowering, and it's not so speckled that we're losing the bigger picture here.
Right, and I will say one thing I have been very complimentary of this whole time has been the colors and the art. I do enjoy the art on this. I wish that I could see more of it behind all of the speech bubbles. But yeah, so they and I like that they're both basically each trusting the other side and. They each think that the other is trusting the other side a bit too much.
Well, I think, and I think they each have a valid concern.
They absolutely do. And that's the thing is, I'm not really, you know, I don't think Cordova has been a very good master for this Padawan, and Padawan was a good fit for this particular master.
And no, again, you're right. You're
maybe
right,
we'll find out at the end that it's that I'm wrong and I'm judging it too soon. But that's what it seems.
I also like the fact that, you know, for once, we have a Padawan who's not fawning over their master either.
Well, it seems we've had a few of those, though. Anakin never really deferred completely to his.
Oh, dude, come on. It's Anakin. You cannot be surprised. I mean, you know, especially if you go back and you read some of the books, you know, like, you know, Dooku Jedi Lost and, you know, and some of this, you know, the recent one that was, I can't remember what, but it was because the other one that was all about Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan, and it was just, you know, it was interesting. So, but you know, again, I think it's also this example here in the comic is a clear example that there is a bug in the system when it comes to assigning Padawans, it seems. So.
Right. It seems like there were many bugs in the system around this time. So yeah, he leaves her outside to stand guard. And he wants to find out what Da is after, because he wants what the Da Corporation is after. He says, "I want to see just what's in here that's so valuable." And
you know, truth be told, I want to see what's so valuable.
I do too.
It's a temple.
But Sarah makes a good point. She says, "What he wants doesn't matter. This temple is in the care of the Falari, and they don't want him to, or his company here." And that's why he says, "You're so sure they're being honest with us that their interest in the temple is purely historical." And she admits, she goes, "I don't know, Master." And he says, then that's why we must find out what's going on inside the temple. And also because I'm curious. So at least he can admit that. And he distracts the guards using, I guess, kind of like what Obi-Wan did in the Death Star, The New Hope, with the stormtroopers.
Yeah.
And he pulls a Spock when he walks in and just says, "Fascinating." Meanwhile, outside, Threlo, however you want to pronounce it.
No, it's Threlo. This one's Threlo.
Finds Sarah. He says, "What are you doing out here?" "Nothing. How dull." "I was under the impression that the Jedi led interesting lives full of great and important adventures. My memory banks are full of histories of Jedi adventures whose deeds will be remembered for all time. But you are the first Jedi I've ever actually encountered, and I find you quite forgettable."
Ooh.
"Do me a favor, Threlo. I am ill-equipped to process favors, Sarah Junda. Perhaps just forget you saw me here." "And all of this, I think you misunderstood. I don't have the ability to actually forget things. That was a figure of speech. You'll need to manually erase yourself from my memory banks." And I have to say, ever since Rogue One, I've been extremely pleased with the new droids that we're getting and all of the new material
attitude
that we're getting. Yeah, because we get L3, K2SO from Rogue One, L3 from Solo, and now 3LO. I'm just kind of loving because they've all got distinct personalities and they're all snarky in their own way.
They are, very much so. And again, you know, as I have said this before and it bears repeating, that's one of the things I love about the Star Wars saga is that the droids are very much personality driven.
And 3LO may be the first one who has a touch of Asperger's. The way he talks, it sounds like someone that you might meet who is on that spectrum.
Yeah, I guess I could see that point.
It's very interesting. So inside, Cordova's found that it's larger than it seems from the outside. And he's awakening some, I'm guessing, guard droids. And again, he says this language he's never seen anything like the language. And it's turning into the Indiana Jones and the Holy Last Crusade here.
Yes, it is.
Having to dodge some booby traps.
Yeah, this language is, I've never seen anything like it. I just hope he knows that it starts with an I, not a J.
Exactly. So. Jehovah starts with an I. And he realizes none of this seems to be part of the original architecture. Why would someone add booby traps to ancient buildings?
Well, why wouldn't you?
Right, exactly.
You know, that's what I've spent doing for the last 5 years since I bought my house, was adding booby traps throughout it.
That's because you watch Home Alone too much. and so Sarah has made her way inside, and she overhears some of Dar's men saying, "Make sure you hide those bodies. The last thing we need is more Falari showing up and trapping us in here."
Oh, my. The corporation is not on the level?
Shocker. And he even says, "Make sure no one follows us. When you find the Jedi, kill him." And, of course, Sarah, not wanting to know exactly what's going on, immediately goes on the offensive and attacks him. And I do, and again, I like the way that the battles, the action is drawn in these books. I've been really pleased with that. And she says, "You don't seem happy to see me. Throw down your blasters. I don't want to hurt you." And I like this. They get the drop on her. He says, "Can't say the same about you, Jedi. Drop your sword." And then this big droid that we saw from the cover drops down on all of them. And they've never seen it before, so they open fire on it, and it... I can't... The one thing I can't really tell... I guess, yeah, they're firing on it, and but they don't do anything to it.
No, it seems to just sort of brush off. I mean, we get some circuitry damage here, it looks like, from the lettering. You can just see the choom, choom, zzz, zzz. But
right.
They keep coming. You know,
keep right coming. And so she tells them all to get out of there, and says it's not safe, we need to get outside, and they're still trying to kill her.
Yeah, and so, they're too laser focused on trying to get rid of the witnesses here, and it's going to end up costing them.
Right. And one of them finally realizes that thing, it killed them all, so he run, and now she's telling him to wait. She's telling him to run, then she tells him to wait. But he's running further into the ruins rather than out toward the exit. She says there could be more traps. And the door shuts behind him.
Not the sharpest tool in the shed.
Nope. And he throws a grenade to try to blow the door, I guess to try to blow the door open. And she stops it and is able to explode it without hurting anybody. But it's a gas grenade. And of course he says, open the door before the gas, because I wasn't the one with the great idea to throw a gas grenade in here. She can't open it by herself. And he calls outside, and he tells Dot to send everything he has. Tell him, and then he gets overcome by the gas.
Yeah, but notice he pins this saying, you know, this is Unit 2 at the temple. The Jedi attacked us. You know, what? No, they didn't. So makes it into a sticky situation, into an inexorable situation here. So
she finally gets the door opened. She can't hold it, but she then it opens on its own. She thinks, but there's Cordova waiting for her. He says quickly, these doors are quite heavy. And then he says, well, I'd say that was a lot closer than either of us would like. Wouldn't you agree? And here again, just look at this page, Matt. Look at all the words on this page.
You know, sometimes you have to have good, strong dialogue.
I get it, but I just don't even find this dialogue that strong. I like the story. I just am not a big fan of the dialogue. I feel like... You remember in Amadeus when the king or the prince, whatever it was, said that there were only so many notes that the human ear could hear in an evening?
I do remember that.
Too many notes. That's where I'm at with this book.
Okay.
But he says, over the years, I've learned the chaotic clatter that comes from Sarah Jinda not listening to me from quite far away.
Sick burn.
Yeah. And she tells him, like, Dawes sent these troops in to kill you. And he says, I was worried he might try something like this. I appreciate you stopping them. She goes, you don't even care that I might have saved your life? He says, might have, and yet I saved you and nobody saved them.
He's got a very valid point.
He's basically saying they're dead because you came in here. Basically saying I probably could have taken care of all this without any loss of life. And he says, you aren't here to watch over me, nor I you. We're here to protect the people of this planet, ideally not from each other. And she tells him, you know, instead of trying to help me save us, Dawes' man uses calmly to call him, told him that we killed them all. He's going to send his whole army. He says, well, I guess you better go outside and stop them. She says, fine, I'll figure out a way to stop an army. You stay here and read the walls. And this is very much in the vein of, like, Dr. Aphra and her dad as well. I'm seeing a lot of echoes of that here, because he says, don't diminish the importance of what we can learn from ancient civilizations. These walls may contain great truths. And she says, what good are these great truths to the people dying outside? And I like that he says, I should learn from your compassion, my Padawan. But you are naive to think that what's in here isn't the cause of what is happening out there. Again, good point, fair point. Show me some proof. Because what we have in the next page is a huge splash of Dar and his army showing up. And he says, we need to get a team inside that temple. Those damn Falari won't stop us now. And here comes Sarah with the Falari. So this is, and again, all this debate and everything. This is the stuff, like I said, this dialogue just reminds me so much of the stuff we got in the prequels. They're talking about a truce and agreements and everything rather than showing us. And he says, forget your truce. My men were killed in that temple by you and your feeble old master. And so, of course, she denies it. And he says, I'm a businessman and a historian, Jedi. Why would I want to start a war?
Well, why wouldn't he? Because there's profit to be made in a war.
And she says, because you think you would win. He says, I know I will. And, of course, she says, we'll see. And they open fire. And she's jumping off with freedom for Phylar. And again, I really like this page. This one page of this battle going on. It's really, really striking. I'm loving all the artwork.
But this is also very intriguing, though, at least content-wise. You know, because she has clearly picked a side. And she is putting the neutrality, and I've got air quotes around the neutrality, of the Jedi Order at risk now by saying freedom for Phylar.
Right. Yeah, that's true. She's speaking for herself, not realizing that she's speaking for a great many people.
Uh-huh. And that's going to come back and bite her on the bottom.
Right. And she's thinking, if I could just get to Da, maybe I can end this. And I can't remember the Wendigo, the big Bigfoot guy, says, you'll never get to him. You've gotten us all killed.
Gigorin.
Thank you. And Nerali says, there might be another way if you can draw their fire so that I can get into the temple. He says, what's in the temple? We've been. And he says, Nerali, do not betray us. And she finally says, Nerali, whatever it is, go do it now. So Nerali wants to get in the temple. So I'm doubting everybody's intentions at this point.
Well, and as well as you should, because we don't really know what's in there now. I mean, right. we've got a notion, we've got an inkling, but that's just it, nothing else. So,
and inside, Cordova is trying to transmit some stuff back to the Jedi Council, and Nerali comes in and zaps him and says, I'm sorry, old man, but I can't let anything get in our way now. So she hasn't killed him, I don't think, because it doesn't look like, because it's just a zap. I think he's just unconscious, but we have it to be concluded. So we're finally going to learn, after four issues, what's inside this temple. I just can't help but think we could have gotten here a lot faster.
This is true. And, of course, my concern is, are we going to actually learn what's in that temple, or is that going to be something that you had found in the video game?
I'm guessing it's probably something in the video game. And so we're going to have spent all this time and still have no real answers.
Ah, mercy, mercy, mercy. Mercy, mercy.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So yeah, that brings us to our final book for the week, Target Vader, issue number 5, and this is issue number 5 of 6, and I think we've both been enjoying this book, haven't we?
Target Vader?
Yes.
Have we been enjoying it?
Silly question, right?
Oh my God, man, come on. I wouldn't say we've been enjoying it. I would say we've been loving it. At least I have. Oh my God, I love this book.
Oh yeah, no, we have been. This is sort of, you know, this book to me has been sort of the prototypical comic book. It's telling a story. The issues are short and sweet, and it's telling a story very economically.
It is. But you know, here's the thing, and it's also taking, you know, a character who, you know, who had a very small nominal role in volume one, you know, of what is now Legends, and even then, because Star Wars comics were like, you know, Legends.
Right.
You know, and then not only do we get him back in Star Wars 108, but, you know, we get him back in the new canon, you know, thanks to Han Solo Imperial Cadet. And, you know, more and more, you know, I'm loving it, you know, because, you know, we see him blended in with, you know, some of the familiar faces, you know, for like, you know, Dengar, obviously. But just we learn more and more about Bylert, and it's just incredible. So, yeah, so we have Star Wars Target Vader, Part 5 of 6, The Past, written by Robbie Thompson. Art, lots of artists on this one. Chris Bolson, Roberto DiSalvo, and Marco Faila. Colors by Rochelle Rosenberg. Letters are by VC's Joe Caramagna. And, of course, the cover artist on this one is Nick Klein. Assistant editor Tom Groneman. Editor Mark Panizia. And we open up. We get a flashback, and this is kind of cool. I mean, you know, because, you know, we had a little detail and knowledge of Bylert from Han Solo Imperial Cadet, but this gives us a lot more detail, you know, because we're on the planet Corin, before. And it's, Violet, Violet, wait. What is it, Yura? I have something for you. Something to remember us by. Be safe, Violet. Kiss on the cheek. The Empire is lucky to have you. And she gives him a, you know, clearly a gem of some kind.
A Japur snippet or something.
Yeah, and then, you know, she's got a tear come out of her eye and running off. He's like, Yura, wait. Let her go, son. She'll be fine, and so will you. The path ahead of you is long and hard. But remember, nothing the Empire throws at you is going to be harder than the mines we've dug through. Keep your head down. Keep working as hard as you've always worked. And no matter what they put in front of you, keep going. And of course, you know, we find ourselves at the, you know, some of the events of, you know, Imperial Cadet.
Yeah, we've seen these before. We have seen these before. We saw them in,
in Han Solo Imperial Cadet.
And we've seen some of them, I think, even in this book as well. And, we're seeing, all, you know, him basically going from pilot to grunt and from grunt to basically almost RoboCop level cyborg.
Mm-hmm. Well, because he got those injuries from as a result of the tie crash, but this dialogue though, because you know clearly it's changing because you know we go from dad's remonstrations to Violet Valance. You've been an outstanding member of the Empire from the moment you put on a uniform. When you were shot down and gravely injured, the Empire rebuilt you. You didn't bat an eye when you were demoted to grunt. You just went right back to the fight, never questioning, never stopping. Always willing to do whatever it took for the Empire. Always ready at any moment to put your life on the line, always. Ready to die for them. You know, and of course, the obligatory Mimbans scene here. You know, get down, oof, you know. And it shows his leadership ability. And this is, oh my God, what a brutal shot here. You know, the kid's like, we can't stay here, Valance. We have to get, boom. And this is like World War I era level shock.
Yeah.
So this is just crazy. You know, and I think it's important that we're getting this backstory of Violet because, you know, we had a little bit from Imperial Cadet, but now we're kind of really seeing what is setting his worldview. And especially this particular page right here, I believe it's what, page 6, you know, because he's trying to get support. We're pinned down in the eastern swamps. We need air support. Negative. We can't spare anyone. Move your men forward to the rendezvous on your own, trooper. And then surprising language, you know. The other troops, the Empire don't care about us. We're just meat for the grinder. And Violet steps up. Don't listen to comms. Listen to me. I'm getting you out of here alive. Now move out, soldiers. And just, you know, again, crossing a no man's land here. And it's just brutal. You know, pew, pew, incoming. And a boom. And Valance gets hit again. And this time...
Maybe he should learn how to dodge.
Well, you know, good point. You know, and there he is. He's a fire, and this, I mean, very graphic page here. I mean, you can see, you know, his right leg is either detached or just dangling. And the whole time he's just saying, keep going, keep. And that's where we cut back. You know, it's just looking over your service record to date, seeing all you've been through. I honestly don't know how you did it all. You know, and that's where we cut back. And, you know, we have an artist change here. And again, I wish they had shown in the credits page who was drawing what and where.
Exactly,
I think,
yeah.
You know, the fact that it's not, well, because it's alphabetical, you know, the way they're listed. So, but, you know, I can't say with authority, you know, if the first half was being drawn by Chris Paulson or the second half by Roberto Di Salvo or the next one by Marco Faia. But regardless, this, you know, where we start on page 8, it's a dramatic change, but I think it's also, it's an appropriately dramatic change, at least in terms of art style, because, you know, the first 7 pages, it was rough, and rough in a very good way, because, you know, it was just, you know, it was designed to show the horrors that he endured.
Right.
And the suffering that he had to undergo. And then we cut back, you know, to this new style, which is...
cleaner lines, it's sleek.
Yes, very sleek, which I think is also, you know, which is a nice little nod to the fact that he has got so much cybernetic implants in him now. So, and that's where we are. We find him, he's on board the Imperial Star Destroyer Vengeance.
and he's just repeating, keep going,
yeah.
Because that's his MO.
Yeah. And I can't tell if this is just the probe droids talking to him, or not the probe droids, but the torture droids, because then we cut to the next page, and it's Vader, the Hidden Hand, and Dengar has sold everybody out, as we saw last issue. And, you know, Dengar is trying to, you know, he's juggling his credits in one hand, if you will, and you know, because Vader's pumping him for info and paying for it. And he's like, I told you everything I know about those maniacs, and I guarantee what I said is more than you'll ever get out of him. Malice won't talk. He's too dumb. And then just, this is chilling. You are free to go, bounty hunter. Should the Empire require your services again, I know where to find you.
And the look. Yeah, look on Dengar's face is great. Again, ink acting.
Exactly.
You get exactly where he's coming from and what he's thinking. I love it. And I'm always amazed at the way artists are able to capture it just in the eyes what the character is thinking. And I'm thinking that it was probably this guy talking, this older man with the white hair. It says, the interrogation droids have been at him for days now, and they've tried every trick I know, and that's all he said to us. Keep going. And so perhaps if we, and Vader just says, leave us, and they don't even question. Everybody, he just walks out. And I love it. The door closes, and Valen says, finally got you right where I want you. Vader, of course, I guess force pushes him, does something with him. He's choking him, doing something, and he says, tell me what you see. He says, each one of those dots is one of my favorite places to drink. I'm guessing this is where the hidden hand has been located. And I love that the stormtroopers outside are even taken aback by the noise they're hearing from inside. And he's just, you know, ever the hard ass, for lack of a word. He says, is that the best you can do? And Vader does, you know, goes again and says, tell me what you see. He says, how about I tell you what I already know? Every dot is one of the hidden hand outposts you managed to wipe out. Nothing but a bunch of dead ends, and you know that too. So why don't you let me out of these restraints and you and I see who's really... And Vader cuts him off. He says, you think you can hurt me? I'm just as much machine as you. And Vader says, you still feel. If you do not tell me what I need, you will never feel anything again. And from
That is vicious.
It is.
For Vader, that is vicious.
It is. And I love it because he says, you'll never feel anything again. And we're cutting to the Imperial Medical Facility before, where he's learning how to walk with his cybernetic legs. And he's the 2-1-B droid is saying, heel toe balance, Captain Valance. Heel. He says, I can't feel my heels. And this is where we get looking at your service record to date, seeing all you've been through, you get to go home.
Exactly.
So they've discharged him. They've given him a new body, basically, as a kind of a thank you. And he says, I appreciate you checking in on one of your old cadets, Yura, but why are you here? And when do I get back in the field? And that's when he says, you're being discharged. You've lost a lot of flesh for the Empire, but you won't be losing any more. And he says, they're leaving me like this after all I've done? He says, they're leaving you with your life. Now you get to do what most of the soldiers of the Empire never get to do. You get to go home. And do you think that this is the Empire's way of just sort of rewarding his tenacity?
Yes and no. You know, clearly they, you know, the Empire could have left him for dead. You know, they didn't have to kit him out. And it kind of shocked me that they would even go that far. But at the same time... it's not like they've prepared him, you know, for the transition to civilian life, if you will. I mean, you know, but at the same time, the Empire is like, you know, look, take it or leave it. You know, and this line here, you know, they're leaving you with your life.
So do you think that they sent him back, though, because they knew what he was going to go back to?
Yes and no. I mean, you know, clearly they're trying to unload him regardless because they're giving him that speech about all of us being expendable. You know, saying, look, you know, you're fortunate. You get to go do what, you know, other soldiers of the Empire don't get to do. Yeah. You know, do other soldiers of the Empire get to go home to find everybody dead?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. He goes home and he finds everybody's dead. And I love this image of him kneeling before all of these hard hats that serve as basically headstones.
Which I thought was very telling. It was a nice little touch there. So... And then, of course, you know, we see him, you know, with his robot arm, his cyborg arms, and then Yura shows up. You know, so you would think it's, you know, and then he finds out what happened here. You know, she's like, what happened? And she's like, the Empire took everything from the mines, from our home, and then there was nothing left to take, and they just left. Korn was defenseless. We were defenseless, and without their protection, the Raiders came. We fought back. We tried, but, and this is where we find that this is what has set Bylert on this path. You know, this right here is the crux of Target Vader, because you know he's had enough. You know he's been treated poorly. He's given his body, he's given his blood, he's given, you know, himself to the Empire. And the Empire has betrayed him. You know, the Empire has left his people to die. But at the same time, you know, he's telling her, you know, I'm going to find who did this and make them pay. Stay here. Stay warm. Stay safe. And she's like, well, don't leave us, please. And he walks away despite her pleas. So in a sense, he's doing the same thing that the Empire did to them.
Oh, absolutely. Because he's so focused on what he needs, on his needs.
Yeah.
So, which is interesting because he was all about serving the Empire. And yeah, he's I don't know. It's like his sense of duty overrides everything.
Selfish much?
Yeah. And from there we cut back to he's on this train. I love the smoke coming out of it, the side of his face. And he's just hearing his name over and over again. I just keep thinking of Marathon Man with the dentist saying, "Is it safe?" over and over again.
Nice nod.
He breaks himself out of the out of where he's at, and he's looking at these star charts and makes enough noise that the troops come in. And we don't see what happens. We just hear the noise. We see two cracks and an ugh, and he comes back out putting on a bucket.
And makes his way out. And then
finds
he finds
a ship.
My ship. What the? And then Vader. So here's the rub. Did Vader know that he was going to do this? Or was did he just know that Beilert's indomitable will was going to see him break out? And he why bother going to him? He could just lay in wait for him?
I think that's exactly it. He did enough so that he knew what he was going to do. And he says, it's time you went home. And then he gets back with him and he's telling him, you know, he's telling Vader, the Empire abandoned Chorin, but so did I. I came up here to kill the raiders and destroy my village. By the time I got here, I was too late. They were gone. So I did what I always do. I just kept going. And he's realizing it.
Yeah.
He says, we both failed to protect Chorin. And as a result, something was born in this mountain. The Hidden Hand. And so they're realizing that this is where the Hidden Hand originated. And Vader says, what remains of your people is still down there, safe for now. And of course he says, are you threatening? And he says, I'm welcoming you, Valance, back to the Empire.
Oof.
And so Valance makes his way to Lowick, which is a secret rebel outpost, and he's walking in.
And right into the comm center.
Right into the comm center. And
and we see who Urk was. Because look who it is.
God, do we...
I could go back undercover as Urk. Find the... And like, the Hidden Hand has gone silent. And you're not killing Vader on your own. We need to find another weapons dealer. And she's like, well, no one will deal to us. You want weapons? It's Beilert. Talk to me.
How did you get in? How did you even find... And Urk or whoever, do we know who this is?
I don't believe we do.
Okay. Says that's what Valance does when he's not cheating death, it seems. Come to join the rebellion, he says, not a chance. You folks need weapons and I need the Hidden Hand. Fortunately for all of us, I know exactly where we can find both. And we have to be concluded. So it's interesting. Target Vader has become less about targeting Vader and more about, I'm not even sure.
It's a double cross wrapped within a triple cross wrapped within a revenge story.
And an enigma inside a burrito.
It's a heck of a twist. And
it is.
You know, and I'm here for it. I did not see that. You know, I have to admit, I did not see that coming. I really thought what we were going to see when Vader was waiting there for him was I'm gonna kill you now, Beilert. You know, this is where you die. And then, you know, Beilert makes an escape, only to be pursued by Vader. I did not expect this at all.
Well, and it's going to be interesting if the Hidden Hand targeting Vader is what ultimately brings about their downfall.
Which is a definite possibility,
yeah,
I think.
I think so as well. Cannot wait to see what happens at the end of this series. And the next the cover for the next issue that we see looks very striking. It's Vader and it looks like Beilert falling together.
Yes.
But we got to wait until December 11th for that.
That's a long time to wait, man.
It is. But you know what? We had some good books this week and we got one, I'm assuming he's going to be a good book next week. Like we said, we got Star Wars number 75 next week, and that's it, correct?
Yeah, that's the only new book we've got coming out November 20th. But we do get Star Wars Allegiance, the trade paperback, collecting the four-issue miniseries. And that's a pretty fast turnaround time. Clearly, they're banking on you know, the interest in the Rise of Skywalker, which is why it came out so fast. And then we are getting the Age of Resistance villains trade, which is going to be collecting the Kylo Ren, Hux, Snoke, and Captain Phasma Age of Resistance one-shots. And then, going back to Star Wars, we get the trade Rebels and Rogues, Volume 12, which is going to collect issues 68 through 72, which is very interesting because, you know, that leaves 73, 74, and 75, and I'm assuming probably Empire Ascendant to collect in another trade, which means they may, you know, they may add in another one shot from somewhere in there as well. So,
okay, yeah,
I could be wrong, you know, but you know, we will see. So we will see what happens.
All right, so we'll be back next week to discuss that and probably have some more news for you next week. So until then, for Comics with Kenobi, I'm Jeff.
And I am Matt.
And may the Force be with you.
Always.
Comics with Kenobi's theme song is Mark Hamill Can Handle by Chris Cape. Check Chris out at chriscape.com and on SoundCloud, on Twitter at Chris Cape, and on Facebook.
This podcast is not endorsed by the Walt Disney Company or Lucasfilm Limited. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. The official Star Wars website can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names, sounds, and any other Star Wars-related items are registered trademarks and/or copyrights of Disney and their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Coffee with Kenobi unless otherwise indicated.
This is the podcast you're looking for.
There's no one here. Move along. Move along.
Don't want to see us running the galaxy. Don't want to see us running the galaxy. Don't want to see us running the galaxy. Don't want to see us running the galaxy.
Bud, stop peeing!
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.